take out a Bible and read along with me? We're reading from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For this their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and had laid down, and was fast asleep.
The prophet Jonah was told to arise and go to the city of Nineveh. If he had been obedient to God's command, he would have gone west. As you look at the account, you find that he went east, and he tried to go text tells us that he went the opposite direction, and he tried to go very far, the opposite way. His planned trip would have taken him about 2,500 miles from where he was. Some sources, as they look at where he was and where he intended to go, believe that the distance was so lengthy, and considering the means of travel in this day and time, it would have taken him a whole year to make this trip. So when Jonah was thinking about running from God, he had a pretty great plan as far as the scope of it. A man who was a prophet tried to run from God. And as we look at this account, both in this chapter and the whole book, there are some things that we should learn. We can and we should learn from the prophet's mistakes. This morning we want to draw primarily from Jonah 1 verse 3. And the first point to consider is the person who did the running. Jonah was not a prophet who was a false prophet. As you look at the account, there is no indication that he was a wicked man, that is, someone who was corrupt. Rather, the text suggests that he was someone who knew about the true God, he served the true God, he was a prophet of God and for God. But he reached a time in his life, there was in his life a period when the will of God said, "Do this thing," and he was not willing to do it. God said, "Go," and the prophet said, "No." And today, as we think about Christians in our day and time, the very temptation that he was exposed to can be the very temptation that we must face as well. Each day we are put in the same position, or quite often, and we make the same choice that Jonah had to make. Will we say yes to the will of God, or will we say no to the will of God? Again and again, we find that the choice of either going to God and doing his will or not doing it is put to us. God's will may be likened to a series of tests, because each day we are exposed to situations, circumstances, and problems which test our character. Some of the tests are easy, and others are hard. Choosing the right way is not always easy. In fact, the Bible repeatedly shows that making the right choices has not always been easy. As we look at Jonah 1 verse 3, we also find that the strongest of God's people are sometimes tested. Not only are all tested, but we find that when people are tested, even the strongest people, they're sometimes good people, God's people, who fail. It's possible to be a child of God, perhaps a strong child of God, and yet reach a time in our life where we make some very bad choices. And that's what we find when we look at the life of Jonah. He made some very bad decisions. And it's easy, when this book is taught to younger people, or when we as adults study this book, to look at the volume, and we can pick Jonah apart. We can start in the first chapter, and we can go all the way to chapter 4, and we can list all of the faults that this man had, and we can make him a whipping boy, and that is so easy to do. But before we're too hard on Jonah, let's think about briefly some of the other characters that we have in Scripture, and when we do that, we find that Jonah was not the only one who said, "I know about God's will, and I'm not going to do it." Moses, that great lawgiver, the one that God used to help the Hebrew people in so many ways, was guilty of a similar sin, Exodus 4, verse 1. Then the Bible says that God had a conversation with Moses. He said, "I want you to be my spokesman. I want you to go speak." And Moses said, "Oh no, God, I am the wrong choice. They're not going to believe me." God said, "Go," and that great man of God said no. Moses did not literally run, but he did try to escape God's will. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, was guilty of a similar transgression. God had a will for his life, but he just kind of laid down and said, God, kill me, because I don't want to do your will. I don't want to function in the way that you have described. Now, here is my question. If Moses and if Elijah and if Jonah, the prophet of God, three great Bible characters, wanted to at some point in their life dodge God's will, would it not seem to be fairly clear that in our daily lives as Christians that same temptation is going to befall us? I dare say that each one of us is going to be tempted in a similar way. At various times, we're each going to be tempted to somehow sidestep the will of God. When those times come, the book of Jonah reminds us to always run to and towards God, not from him. Those who run from God are headed right for Satan and a boatload of new problems, and that is precisely how Jonah is portrayed in this chapter. When people run from God, it's often the case that they reason, this is my choice. And when I talk with people, this is the very argument that they make. People often suggest that their decision affects their own life, but nobody else is bothered by it. The book of Jonah says that idea is false. The next time you talk to someone who is running from God and they say, well, you know, this is none of anybody else's business, look back to Jonah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Scott read verse 5. Let's pick that up once more in verse 6, too. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it unto them. But Jonah was gone down into the innermost parts of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. When people run from God, they frequently, as I noted, allege that the innocent bystanders, nobody else is going to get hurt. But that's not the case in this story. If Jonah had made that argument, the people would have known that he was not right. In verse 4, we find that the ship he was on, it was in danger of being broken. The people who were, shall we call them the innocent bystanders, verse 5, they were terrified, absolutely petrified. Cargo was lost because God's prophet was on the run, verse 5. So this idea that if we're going to run from God, if we're not going to do his will, that doesn't affect anybody else in my life. That, according to Jonah 1, 4, and 5, is absolutely untrue. One of Satan's most successful lies is found in the first chapter of Jonah. When someone says, this is my choice and it affects only me, we know from this chapter that the person is being deceived. Running from God has far-reaching consequences that go beyond the individual. One of the personal consequences in this story is found in verse 5. Notice, if you will, from the end of the first verse, the expression asleep. The Bible says that Jonah was not only asleep, he was fast asleep. That's how the King James and the ASV render it. This expression comes from a single word that is found only 7 times in the Old Testament. I did a bit of digging, and it has the sense, and this is a quote. It describes a type of deep sleep where a person is cut off from the outer world. And as I studied the word, I think I would compare it to the kind of anesthetic that a person has. If you've ever gone to the hospital and you told the people who were working with the anesthesiologist, I don't want to feel anything, I don't want to see anything, I don't want to remember anything. You put me under so that I am just completely ignorant about everything that takes place. Cut off from the outer world. That seems to be the idea described by the word used in the first chapter. Some have asked, because this is a rather unusual term, why Jonah felt like this. One intriguing suggestion is that Jonah collapsed when he had the chance because of fear and guilt. Not too long ago, 4 National Guardsmen were being interviewed by CNN. Forces in Iran had picked up these soldiers, and they were able to get back to American soil. They were not beaten, but they'd been blindfolded. They had been interrogated, and they'd been held at gunpoint. And one of the soldiers, I only saw him being interviewed, said 2 things that I found to be memorable. There were several Americans, reporters in the room, and as this soldier, a young man, was talking to one of them, he said, I like you, and I don't even know you. But his point was, you are an American, we are from the same nation, and just being in your presence is a good feeling. This man also said, just talking about my ordeal makes my heart pound. I know that I'm safe, but as I think about the experience that I had, just reliving it all over again, it's a very intense feeling. Imagine how Jonah must have felt. Here is a man who was a prophet of God. He was fleeing from God. His heart must have been pounding as he devised the plan, as he went down to the shipyard, as he bought the ticket, as he got on board. Will God permit me? Will I be safe? Will the ship sink? Will I be able to make it the entire trip? a lot must have been going through the prophet's mind, and it's possible, in my mind, very possible, because of the fear, because of the guilt, because of the anxiety. When Jonah was able to get on board, he was able to find a place where, he could, sort of hide away from everybody else. He may have collapsed. He may have been mentally and physically exhausted, so he enters into the type of sleep that is described in the text because of the worry and stress. There are some other ways to account for this, but this to me seems to be totally consistent with what the passage describes. The stress that Jonah would have been under is still something that exists for our day and time. When people decide that they're going to run from God, and they may run a little ways or they may run very far in the sense that they completely try to turn their back on him, there is always a reminder in the back of the mind of where the person should be and currently is not. And as we look at the book of Jonah, we find that it tells us that we do not need to struggle with these kinds of emotions. Making the right choices in life, that is, staying with God, living according to his will, eliminates a lot of guilt. As you look at the world, you find that people have a lot of different sleep aids. People can't sleep well, so they'll sell you a better mattress. They have a pill. They've got 1,000 different items that will help you get a good night's rest. Also in the world, we find that people make a good business at helping others get rid of guilt and stress. That's a very lucrative business. But as you look at Jonah 1, the Bible says that the children of God have a sleep aid which is both natural and free. When we walk with God, we can lay our head down at night and know that we are in a right relationship with God. And the kind of fear, the kind of struggles that Jonah must have had from worry and restlessness, they do not need to exist. And we can have a peaceful night's rest. Another consequence of running from God is also found in the first chapter, moving down to the information now in verses 9 and 10. Jonah has been caught. He's been brought before the people on the ship. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, what is it that thou hast done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of Jehovah because he had told them. The time came when the runaway prophet had to make a confession. He had to say not only to people, but he had to say to non-Christians, people of the world, I am a Hebrew. I'm a man of God who knows the true God. I'm fleeing from Jehovah. He made that admission. I propose that these may have been some of the most embarrassing words the prophet ever had to say. Running from God leads to some very bad consequences. Jesus told a similar story in Luke chapter 15. There was a young fellow who was not a prophet, but the Bible says that he had to make a similar confession. He also tried to run from dad and what was right. The Bible says he went into a far country, but the day came when he needed to make the confession. He came back and he said to his dad, I've been away, and Father, I want you to know that I've sinned. I've sinned in your sight. I have sinned against heaven. And he was trying to make it right as well. The book of Jonah really makes the prophet look bad. And only after things really got out of control did the prophet come and fess up to who he was. When you look at Jonah and what he did in other parts of the book, you find that his disobedience is really stressed. The waves are described in the book. They were obedient to heaven's will while the prophet was not. The lots that were cast to determine who was at fault, they obeyed the will of God, but God's prophet was not obedient. The storm, the vine, the fish, they were all obedient, while God's prophet did not obey. The worm was even obedient when we get to the end of the book, but the spokesman for God was resistant. The people of the world, the Ninevites, who were awful people, horrible sinners, they were willing to repent and obey, while Jonah still was stubborn in his resistance. The one person in this book, when you deal with both man and creatures from the world, and you deal with the environment in general, is the prophet of God, and that is so sad. Yet when we look at our day and time, we find often that a similar thing exists. Christians can know the will of God as anyone possibly can. And yet when it comes to doing the will of God, there are some people, some good people, members of the church, who say no. I will not obey. Some refuse to obey because they believe it only affects them. Others base their disobedience on other things. And it's not a new problem. Because when you look at the book of Hebrews, the Bible uses at least one chapter in that book to talk about how God chastens, how God disciplines his people. Why? Because sometimes there are some members of the church who refuse to be obedient. Both the book of Hebrews and the book of Jonah has an important lesson for every living person. That is, we need to know what God's will is, and then we need to do it. That needs to start early in life. That should be the time where we learn about God's will and we make the decision we are going to do His will. We're going to run to God and not from Him. Are there going to be times in our life when we're not going to like what God's will is? It certainly was not fun for Jonah to go to a group of people that he hated, to help people that he believed needed to be wiped off the face of the earth, and God's will today for us may not always seem to be the course that in our mind is best or the easiest or the way that we want to go. But when we look at the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New, we find that God's way is always the best way. We also find that when we obey the will of God, that a lot of the problems faced by others are not endured by us. Following His will is the right choice now, and it's the right choice in eternity. In just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. And as we do that, I want you to think about two questions, if you will. Are we running to and towards God, or are we running from Him? Are we saying yes to God's will? We know what it is. And as we go through our daily lives, are we saying yes to it? Or are we like the prophet saying, no. I know what it is, but for one reason or another, I will not obey. If we've closed the book on God and His will, the book of Jonah says we're on a sinking ship and we need to get off. We need to make whatever adjustment needs to be made so that we have in our lives a way of life which is consistent with the Scriptures. Are we running to Him or are we running from Him? If you're not headed in the right direction, the Bible says you can change. You can become a Christian by being immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, and then you can continue to follow the will of God. If you've not become a Christian in the way that the Bible describes, or you have become a Christian and you're running from God, this morning will you not change directions while you have a chance? We want to encourage you to do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.